Central Coast Uncorked, Paso Robles edition.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Last time we took you to Cambria downtown. This time it's Paso Robles.
Yeah. I've never heard of this place.
Where are we going?
Bodegas, I think.
Bodegas, Paso Robles?
Something like that.
Okay. What do we know about them?
Nothing. But I know the lady was very nice on the phone.
Great.
All right. Yeah, I have no idea.
I have not been here before either, and I think the most that I've really seen about them was on Instagram.
Oh.
And I do know that they were like in the list that we had not crossed them off yet. So I do get confused because there is another place in Paso, I think, called like Bodegas Edgar.
There's Bodega de Edgar.
Bodega de Edgar.
Yes.
But this is different.
I know Edgar. I grew up with him.
Okay.
Well, I don't know him. I'm not like, oh, hey.
Hey, Edgar, are you listening? Do you remember Jamie?
Oh, yeah. We both grew up in Cambria. I know who you are. And he would be like, who is this crazy person?
Anyway, so Bodegas Paso Robles. Neither of us have been there. Yep. Don't know anything about it. So this will be a brand new experience. We're taking you along with us. We can't wait to see what happens, what comes out of it.
Yeah.
And we hope you enjoy the journey as well.
Yeah. Have a good time. So how long have you guys been here?
We've been in business since 2002. We started the winery. The woman who started the winery, her name is Dorothy Schuler. She started it in 02 by herself.
Oh, wow.
And then I came on in 06, and now we've partnered up. She's still primary owner, but I'm a partner.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, super fun. I love it. She does the back of the house. She gives me something to sell, and I sell it.
So that's awesome.
Those are our roles here.
So Spanish varietals.
Yep. We do all Spanish and Portuguese varietals. People call Dorothy Mama Tempranillo because she was the first one to start doing Spanish and Portuguese varietals in this area.
Oh, okay.
She's always walked to the beat of a different drummer. She used to be a writer and an editor. She edited, you know, Timothy Leary's? The LCD, PCP movement, acid movement, LSD, back in the 60s and late 60s, early 70s.
Okay.
She edited six of his books.
Oh, wow.
So she's had a very, very colorful past.
Awesome. Some interesting editing, yeah, sure.
Makes for good wine.
Yeah, for sure, right? Completely and totally awesome.
Thank you.
Stuff. Now, do you like white wine?
Yes.
I'm going to start you off with our 2018 Galicia. We call this Galicia because the region in Spain above the Rias Baixas, this is the Galicia region, and this is where Albariño originated. And that's how I'm going to pour for you first, is Albariño. We get this from Jeff Ranch, which is in San Luis Obispo County. And Albariño grapes in Spain almost grow from the water. Their vines are like right on the water. And so as the crow flies, this vineyard where we get this fruit is about a mile and a half from the ocean. So it gets that cold night, foggy, and then sun during the day. And they're cool climate grapes. Yeah. They like that cool climate. They really thrive in that. And we are lucky enough to get our grapes from there.
So, cool. Where is that at?
It's in the Edna Valley.
Okay.
Do you know the Paragon Vineyards? It's a portion of Paragon. So if you go out Broad Street, it's half Broad Street, but way
that's
out.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I don't know that area as well, and like it's so baffling to me that it's that close to the ocean. Like,
right,
when you look at a map,
flies.
It makes sense. Yeah,
right.
But like, just when I'm thinking about, like, it's so much warmer just like on the other side of those little tiny hills.
That is not close to the ocean.
So I'm
Cambria,
like, exactly.
Close to the ocean. Dorothy.
Ooh, I like that.
We love that she's a female winemaker. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of them around. That's why we have so much fun together. And she does the back of the house and I do the front because, well, aside from Max, Max is in here, he's our wine club manager, but he, aside from Max, we are an all female winery.
I love it.
Yep. And she's been given awards from the Spanish, from the Spaniards. There was a Spanish based competition called Tempranillos al Mundo, so Tempranillos of the World. And it was a Spanish-based, Spanish-run competition in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a gold medal. Not only was she the only female, she's the only American.
That's
the
awesome.
Spanish.
That's
she's being recognized by the Spanish for her Spanish wine.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I like this a lot.
Isn't that wonderful?
And this is the perfect time of year to be drinking this. And
for sure. Absolutely.
Good thing I got my new wine fridge because I might have to take a couple bottles home.
So did you go to school for this? How did you get into doing what you're doing?
We just drink a lot of wine, and so a couple of years ago.
Well, that is that's something that you need to do.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I was like, you know what? I want to like learn more about it. So I went and did the level one sommelier test. Uh-huh. And then it just kind of like went from there. And she actually came to me with the idea to do this, but not necessarily the podcast piece of it. Just we also have an app. And on we have an app. It's only on the Android Play Store right now. We're working on getting it into Apple.
It's been
very, very frustrating.
What's the app?
Central Coast on Court.
But the app is basically our recommendations. So it's just like there's so many apps and websites that just list all the wineries, but there's no like. Other than like general information,
so ours is
literally only places we would recommend and who we would recommend them to and why we would recommend them. I do hair, and I'm always telling people like where to go, and I'll have to like stop my client to like tell somebody else. I'm like, wait a second, like they're the ones paying me, like not.
So
I was like, man, I need to like. Streamline this. And then that kind of evolved into this.
Cool.
And now we just get to drink wine all the time.
That is not a bad job.
It's not.
Okay, so this is our 2013 Azul. It's actually down at the bottom of the page because we're not pouring it right now. But it's 67% Graciano, 33% Tempranillo.
No, I was just about to ask about Graciano.
Graciano is a rare grape. It's native to Spain. Its primary use is for blending. There's maybe 30 acres in the entire United States. It might be even less than that. But the lion's share of him being in Lodi, Marcus Bocas Vineyards, he does Graciano. Recently in Paso Robles, there was a bunch, people thought they were planting Monastro or Morvedra.
They
were actually planting Graciano, so there's going to be a lot of Graciano coming up. That when they took it for a grape analysis, they found out it was actually Graciano. So I'm excited about it because we've always used Graciano, so it's really exciting. It's a hard grape to get.
Yeah.
So this is a beautiful food wine. Your foodies, great with paella, lamb. Veggie burgers. I mean, really, all of our wines, I say you can dress them up or dress them down because you can have them with really fancy meals or you can have them with something really casual and they're lower in alcohol. You know.
Yeah, that's nice, especially in summertime.
Yeah.
For sure. So, like this 13 something. I can't read that, but you guys can figure your eyes are probably better than mine.
13.7.
13.7, yeah. So that's for around here, that's really not that high for a red wine. You know, you get some 15-16s in there.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
It is. You have to be careful.
Yeah, for sure. Especially women. It's funny because we metabolize wine, as you guys know, differently than men.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get bridal parties in here. I'm like, oh, you want some water?
Oh, gosh. I went wine tasting. Well, to one tasting. I didn't go wine tasting. I went to a tasting room yesterday with my aunt and my mom. Mm-hmm. And we were, like, in this little corner room, and there was one table for, like, three people where we were, and then there was a long, like, 6 or 7 person. And we got lucky because most of the time nobody was in there. But then, like, a bachelorette party came in, and they're all in, like, these, like, strapless or, like, off-the-shoulder, very pretty, like, flowery dresses. And they all had, like, giant hats on. And they were hammered, and it was really funny. And my mom and I just kept telling her, I'm like,
here yesterday.
We were in AG, so it was a little bit cooler, but like, I was like, I feel so old. And my mom was like, you feel old.
Yeah, I
was like, sheesh. But they were having a good time, and they had a bus pick them up, which was very made me glad. Yes,
I'm sure.
They probably are gonna have brunch here in a couple minutes. I like this because it's not as like smoky and bold as Tempranillo by itself, but I still get that on the nose, and I still like the structure of it.
So it's high in acid. Graciano is very high in acid. Tempranillo is very low in acid. Mm-hmm. So the balance of it makes it a perfect food wine.
Yeah.
And it can accompany, like I said, really anything. And you're right. You do get some of the meatiness of the Tempranillo that comes through, but it still has that nice, you know, on the vine, the Graciano is like a tutti frutti lifesaver.
Oh.
Like when you eat it off the vine, it's kind of crazy. And then when you turn it into wine, I mean, I just think it's a beautiful fruit.
So did you guys source the Graciano from Lodi then?
We source all of our fruit. This Graciano, yes, it came from Lodi.
Okay.
But the Tempranillo is from Paso Robles.
Cool.
Okay, what I just poured in your glass now is our 2013 Bocanegra. This is 100% from Paso Robles. It's all Paso fruit. It's 40% Monastrell, 35% Tempranillo, 25% Garnacha. So it's kind of our version of a GSM, but it's an MTG. Monastrell is Morvedra. You guys know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Morved, Tempranillo, Garnacha. And we call it Black Cow because it has Morvedra in it.
I like that.
A lot of alcohol goes in.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Just, so what kinds of grapes do you normally drink? Like, what are your favorites?
I love a GSM. Mm-hmm. That is kind of like my safe bet go-to. Mm-hmm. Like, and I like Morved that I can never say.
I have 100%.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I was excited. but yeah, I mean, I like it all.
I like a GSM, but I really like Syrah, and I really like Tempranillo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have really come to love Pinot Noir.
Okay.
Good Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you guys in a try one time. It's called Ascension Ridge. It's just where I am on the next block.
Okay.
Ascension Ridge, they do Pinots. They have beautiful Pinots. They have GSM.
Oh,
they have
nice. Good tip.
So try that for sure.
I want to go to Copia's new tasting room.
Yes.
They use a consultant in their winemaking, and I know him. So I've had their wines before, and then I would, like, the last time I saw him, he's like, well, let's do like a barrel thing, and
yeah.
They seemed very, very nice. I can't remember her name, but yes.
And they're awesome. We're so excited that Cody went down.
Yeah, she seemed super nice. She was like, you guys can come out to the new vineyard, and I was like, wow, you guys are really okay. You don't have to talk me into it.
Here's your Morved. It's 100% Monastrell. It's our 2014. Again, this is all Paso fruit. 2 years ago, we won the Central Coast Wine Competition with this wine.
Oh, cool.
The whole competition.
Very cool.
So we were very excited. So
with the 2014?
It was a different vintage. Okay. But it's the same grapes, you know, how stuff changes with the weather. But we're really excited. So I think it's equally as good, if not better, to me.
What has been your favorite vintage in the recent years?
Recent years, 2013 was my favorite vintage. Okay. Our 10s are really soft. Mm-hmm. The 13s, I feel like that they've lasted for a long time. Like our 13 Vaca Negra, 13 Azul, I think they're tasting beautifully right now.
Yeah.
We're also going to have a 13 Pimentero. So one thing that we do a little differently in our winery is that we hold the wine for you. Mm-hmm. In Spain, they don't release things for years.
Yeah.
And as long as our cash flow allows us to, we will keep it, we'll hold it back as long as we can.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2019, we're serving you a six-year-old wine, and it's just now starting to get to its peak.
Yeah.
And that's something we really pride ourselves on.
Yeah, I love that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, because I know you're going to go
very strong
feel,
opinions
but,
on this.
it's nice because especially for the general public who are going to consume them pretty much, you know,
mm-hmm.
right after they buy them,
right.
It's nice to have it be at the peak or where the winemaker, you know,
would like
created it. Yeah.
We do have our wine club that we... that we do, and there are times when we will give something in our wine club, like, okay, sit on this, we're doing an experiment, and you lucky, you know, we have some of this wine, we have a barrel of it, or whatever, and that'll go all to our wine club, and, or two barrels, or however much, and we'll say, you need it, you're not allowed to touch it for 2 years, then touch it.
And then we're putting a lot on it.
Remember when you, oh my gosh, yes, and we pull it out of our cellar, you know?
I think that's awesome. I want more places. I say this in every episode almost, like I'm really advocating for best buy date on wine, like, you know, like a can of food, because I want it to be like dummied down for me, like tell me when you think, tell me when you want me to drink this and I will do that, and then like,
that's a great idea.
I could organize my like collection by when I need to drink it, and it would be very efficient.
So do you have a wine cellar?
No, I just have wine fridges duct taped closed in my garage. Because if I take the trays out, I can shove more in.
Right.
But then I'm like petrified something will happen. So my husband had to duct tape it.
Especially with the earthquakes.
I know.
Yeah.
So no,
did you feel that one from Ridgecrest the other day?
I didn't feel it.
I did. I was laying in bed. I was homesick. And my dog and I were laying in bed. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I was like, oh, that's definitely an earthquake. And she, like, lifted her head and then just laid back down. And I was like, well, it's not worth getting up. Like, it wasn't worth getting up for.
The first one, the 6.4 or whatever it was, I was on the road, so I didn't feel it. But the second one, that later on that night or whatever, the next night or whatever it was, My husband and I were sitting down for dinner. I'm like, we're having an earthquake. He goes, no, we're not. He'd never felt one before.
Oh,
we're having an earthquake.
How funny.
And I said, look up, and we're above our chandelier. He's like, oh my God, what do we do? I'm like, just stand in the doorway. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But it was. I'm like, it was definitely an earthquake, honey. Like,
yeah.
That was his first
time. I was
time.
Like, you know, you've lived in California for a long time when you categorize it, but it wasn't worth getting up for.
Well, rolling, I'm like, it's
like, I went into the door, like, or you get in the door frame, or then there's like under the table, and that's when it's like, oh man, this is legit.
Yeah, I didn't even feel it. I don't think Eric felt it either. I don't know. We were at home.
When we had the big earthquake here years ago.
Uh-huh.
My brother and I were still living at home, and my parents' house is really small and has no foundation. It's super, like, old, crappy cottage in Cambria.
Are there any crappy cottages in Cambria?
There are.
Yeah, the old
there
ones.
There are. If you saw my parents' house.
It's old, but not, I mean, it's in Cambria.
No, it's in a great location, yeah. But it
needs to be.
It's rough.
Taken it needs, down.
It should have been demolished, like, 15 years ago. But
they built you an apartment.
Yes.
Did you say Cambria or Cambria?
I say Cambria.
Cambria.
But I'm not fancy.
No, I always wanted to know, because I hear it both ways.
Everybody, it's an ongoing thing. Like, no one can agree.
It's the same with Paso Robles or Paso Robles.
Yeah. So, we had, like, a tiny little TV room, and Eric and I used to think it was fun to lay every blanket and pillow we had out on the floor to watch TV.
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't put them away, and my mom would be really mad all the time, over and over again for years. And then the night before that earthquake, like, Eric and I had done that and naturally not cleaned up. So my mom has all this, like, crap above the windows and stuff, you know, like decoration that fell off the wall and landed nice and cushy. And I think one thing broke, and Eric and I were like, you're welcome, lady.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, must be nice having such thoughtful children.
We're here for you, Mom. Don't worry. Okay, the next one I have for you is a 14. This is our VVO. This is my flagship wine. We do this one every year. It's always the same varietals. It's always the same percentages. We do blending trials every year.
Oh, it's always the same percentages.
We always come back to 90-10. It just tastes the best. This is the only wine that we do that has any Cabernet Sauvignon. Right. So it's 90% Tempranillo, 10% Cabernet Sauvignon. We've tried 88-12. We've tried 85-15, 80-20. Nothing tastes the same to us as the 90-10. We make the most of this. This is what we mostly distribute. So we make a lot of the VVO. It's our most popular selling wine. It's an easy drinking wine, and it's a 14. So it's
I don't know that I've ever had that blended together, Cab and a Tempranillo.
Not a lot.
Or it's, if I have, I definitely don't remember it.
This is great with pasta, burgers, but you can also throw it on with a rack of lamb or some paella, or just have it. It's a good just sipping wine.
Before you forget about the last wine. Ooh, because this is really good.
I really liked that, my bed.
How would you drink, like, when would you drink that, my bed?
Anytime I'm awake.
Yeah. I was like, I just want to sit on the couch right now and drink this wine.
Anytime.
Like, okay, I'm going to go home and you'll just find me like drinking that wine.
Be like, Kurt, pull the car around.
That's the best answer I've ever had. When can you drink this? So it's funny because Dorothy and I have a different take on this wine. I call it her flagship and she calls it her workhorse. She has to do more work on this wine, meaning we make the most of it. We have to make sure nothing happens to it. It's a big variety. It's a big vintage for us every year. This is the most cases that we make of the VVO. But for me, it's our flagship. That's what we're known for. We've been doing this every year since 2002. And it's always, I love that it's always the same varietals, always the same percentages. It's just, it's funny that it always works out that way.
Yeah. I like the names, too. Like, yeah, all of the names have been...
So VVO is Yay for Me, or I Live, or and then for a while there we had a Viva 2, so Yay for You.
Yeah.
And then we did a Viva Mos, but it's really supposed to be Vivamos, but we did just VVO, Viva 2, Viva Mos. So that's the next one you're going to have is a Viva Mos, but it's really, should be pronounced Vivamos.
Okay.
Like Yay for Us. I have Spanish-speaking friends, and they're like, you can't put that on the label, it's wrong. I'm like, it's okay, we're doing something different.
We'll explain it.
Yeah, we'll explain it. Don't worry, we're good.
We're not in Spain.
Yeah. We go to Spain every year, though. That's something that we do. We take our wine club members, and we go on a 10 to 12-day trip.
Oh, how fun.
Spain and Portugal.
Oh, that's amazing.
We're going on our third year.
I'm going to do that.
Last year, we did it the first year. It was a hard sell. And then we came back, and then everybody was like, oh, my gosh. So we sent out the email, and we sold out in about 30 minutes.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Year two, last year. So this year, we're already planning this trip. We're going to spend some time down in the Azores, and we're going to go up through Lisbon. and stay in the countryside and then do some things around Lisbon. So we're super, super excited.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It's going to be a really fun trip.
Do you usually go in the summer or what time of year is it?
We take Dorothy and I and her husband take a transatlantic cruise from Puerto Rico or Barbados to Lisbon every year. It takes 2 weeks across the sea. There's no stops.
Yeah.
All you see is ocean and skyline. That's all you see for 2 weeks. You might see a crossing boat, everyone gets excited. But that's what we do every year. And so we base it on that. And that this year is going on March 28th.
Okay.
Leaving port March 28th. And so we'll do the trip probably starting on like April 12th.
Cool.
Yeah.
April will be a nice time of year to be there, too.
It's a perfect time of year. Yeah. Rain one day, the weather's pretty nice. You know, you bring a jacket or whatever and some scarves, but you can also, you know, use a layer. And then by in the afternoon, you're comfortable. It's really nice. We always stay in 5-star hotels, and and it includes meals. And it's a beautiful trip.
That's awesome. That's so fun. I really want to do, like, something wine-related in either Spain or France. Like, that's
you need to come with us on
like,
our trip.
That's the main focus. I can't, like, my husband will kill me if I go back to Spain one more time. In like a calendar year, like I'm.
Well, you can go the year after. You might be
the year after, I might be able to do. But like,
a lot of couples go. My husband's going this year. He couldn't go last year. He will not go on the transatlantic cruise. He's like, nope.
Yeah, that doesn't.
I need to see land.
My husband would be so bored, and I'd be like, I'm just gonna lounge here.
I read 7 books this last year. 7
That's
books.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I don't get a lot of time like that. So but he meets us at the end. And so we take our husband.
Yeah, that's really fun.
So this wine I poured for you is our Vivamos. It's our 2012. This is 60% Triga Nacional, 40% Gracian. Triga Nacional is usually fortified with brandy and made in the port.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
You have. It's Triga Nacional, Suzao. Those are some grapes that are very popular for port grapes, for port wine. But they're fortified with brandy. So this was picked at regular Bricks, like I said, and then we blended it with some of the Graciano. And this wine is a beautiful sipping wine. I don't know that it's still a good food wine, but I like just pop it a cork and drink from the bottle.
It smells really good.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The grapes are awesome. And we're not even at the peak yet of what this can do. And it's a 12, it's 7 years old.
So, other than like here in the tasting room, where can we find your wines? Are you in any stores, or do you try to just keep it?
No, we are. We're small though. We only produce about 2,000 to 2,500 cases per year. Mm-hmm. We are in a lot of restaurants downtown Paso Robles, and then we have a distributor in California. We also have we have a broker in California. We have a distributor in New Jersey and a distributor in Florida.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So we are in some bottle shops. I feel that we do better in restaurants because, like, by the glass or something, because it's different. People like the label.
No, I'd say I feel like the label and the names are intriguing enough that I would probably, like, buy it at the grocery store just because it would catch my eye.
So the label is Bacchus, the god of wine. And we have a friend that's actually all his artwork on the tasting room wall.
Oh, cool.
He is an artist from Washington. He does like open face, all this open Facebook art.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
So this is the original right here. And he did, if you look at it closely, it's, you see, it's all in what you see, but it's you see a grapevine for his nose. Mm-hmm. And there's a bikini, a bikini belly button. Like you see the polka dot bikini. And one person says that those are avocados. I say that they're...
They look like nipples to me.
And that might have been my name. For me, it looks like olives.
No, I can see an avocado and olives.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny.
So I'm just more inappropriate than that.
I have 4 boys. No, it's inappropriate to me. So it's just, I think that the label's super fun, and it's just all what you see and all the whimsical things around it. I just think it's a really fun label.
Yeah, he's very talented.
He is very talented. His name is, I almost said Marcus Bokich, but that's our best name. His name is Morse Clay. And that is all of his artwork. And Dorothy has been a huge supporter of Morse's. They're actually really good friends.
Oh, that's nice.
And so she's purchased a lot of his artwork. Because look at that. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, and it's unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
But not, like, ugly unusual. Sometimes unusual isn't good.
Right, and artists.
I really like the bottom one there, the open book.
Oh, see, I like the one above it.
Okay.
And the Eye of the Beholder, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's I have cool. a couple of these pieces I was given some for my birthday last year, which is really cool. And so I'm now an avid lover. I think it's amazing.
So you said you joined here in 2006, right?
Yep, I started working for her, actually, to do her accounting work and book work. That's what I went to school for.
Okay.
But she didn't have a tasting room then, and we were, so we did all the paperwork and started getting everything together. We used to share this space with Ascension Ridge.
Okay.
Which is that one I was telling you about
earlier. Yeah.
And then we split because they were ready for their own thing. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do our own thing. But it was a great way to get our foot in the door and have two wineries. It's hard to split time, though, with two wineries. It's really hard. And then we've been downtown ever since. We love it. We're one of the longest-standing people that have been here at this point. There's, like, three people that have been here longer than us. So
it's pretty good, though.
Yeah. A lot of people, they want to move out to the hinterlands and go to where the vineyards are. But because we source our food, we don't have that option.
Yeah.
So for us, we wanted to...
I would imagine you're going to get a lot more foot traffic. Like, and people just wandering in, like...
Yeah. Well, especially with so many now.
Right. With so many wineries, breweries are coming in, mm-hmm. restaurants are awesome. There's just so many things happening downtown. It's really becoming kind of a mecca of this area.
Yeah.
So we have more hotels coming in. It's amazing. And we've rebranded all the downtown wineries, and we're the downtown wine district.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm super excited about the district and see how that's going to go.
Yeah.
What's going to happen there. I'm really excited for the way that downtown. The last round report for you today is our 2013 Pimentero. This is a proprietary blend for us. It's 67% Trousseau, or Bastardo is the Portuguese name for it, 33% Tipperary. White and black pepper on the nose, mid-palate, and finish. Definitely more of a food wine. It's not as peppery as it's been in years past, but Trousseau, like I said, the Portuguese name for it is Bastardo. We're just not allowed to call it Bastardo. It's not recognized by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but it's... So Trousseau is the French name. Sounds better.
And it's Trousseau and Tempranillo, so TT.
Exactly. Exactly. And Pimentero means pepper pot in Portuguese.
No.
So,
I like how it smells.
Me too. I just
want
to keep smelling it.
I want a candle of that scent.
Yeah, exactly, right? That would be a really good, that'd be a good scent.
I like this a lot. Man,
I've liked all of them very much.
Like, I feel
so
like actually liked them too, not just saying that.
We don't do that a lot.
not a lot, but it does happen.
It's better to be sincere.
Oh, for sure. No, I actually liked all of these, especially that one. How do I say that?
You could just go with Mauvais.
Mauvais. They're both. Why are all the M words so hard?
There's so many.
Monastrell.
Monastrell.
There's so many actual Tesla chargers.
There are,
Look at all that.
Oh, man. That's perfect.
Yeah.
We really could. I might need Kurt to drive me home. Do you think he could drive me all the way home?
I'm so glad you guys liked everything. It makes me
really
happy.
No, it was all very good.
Yeah.
Good.
Can you tell me about the wine club, just for the purposes of the podcast, but
Absolutely.
Also because I'm interested?
We have a progressive wine club. So we have a wine club that we start out at 20% off.
Okay.
When you've been a wine club member. And your first purchase... is 25% off when you join the wine club.
Cool.
All tastings are free. We do complimentary barrel tastings, which they run about $125 normally per group. For 1 year, you're at 20% off. Then you go to 30% off, and you're there for a couple years.
That's a big jump.
And then you go to 40% off, all the way down to 50% off. I want to stop doing distribution and give that discount to our loyal wine club members, because I think we're going in that direction of people want to feel appreciated. And I think that that's a great way to say thank you.
Yeah, so that's a big jump too, because like I'm in one wine club and each year you get 1% off. So like you start at I think 20 or 25 and then 26, 27, 28.
Oh, no.
And
no,
like
we do, it's 1 to 4 shipments, you have 20% off. 5 to 16, so that's another 2 years, you're at 30% off. 17 to 28 is another 2 years, you're at 40% off. And then 29 plus, you're at 50% off.
That's
awesome. That's really cool.
So I think it's a really good structure, and it's a really great way to do it. And if you're in the industry like you are, you start at 30% off.
That's
great. And I think that's really nice. Like, I like that idea of like giving back to your customers and stuff, because that's kind of gone away with wine clubs. Like, that's
it's become all allocation based.
And which is cool, and I get it, and I do, like, I buy into it because I want to buy the wine, but like I think it is nice when you're committing to spending money with somebody to like get a little something back.
Right. So we do four bottle shipments a year. We ship four times. You only get four bottles. So, I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's not nothing, but it's not a crazy amount.
It's not even a week.
It's not like a case at a time.
Yeah.
It doesn't hit your checkbook really hard, which is nice.
Yeah.
And we're really liking the way that it's going right now.
We really like the ranges. When there's like a price range, like you'll be between, like it says $100 and $140. Like, I think that's so cool because there's like, I'm in a couple wine clubs and it's like roulette with my credit card. Like, how much is it going to be? $400 or $900 or like, what is it?
In the summer months, it's going to be less because they're sending you whites. And in the winter months, it'll be more because they're sending you reds.
No, I think that's really cool.
Dessert wines tend to be a little
And I think that is enticing for people, especially like when they're new to joining wine clubs and kind of figuring out how it goes. Mm-hmm. That kind of takes like some of the scariness out of it. It's like, for sure. Oh, okay, yeah, so like $400 to $500 a year, that's not bad.
Yeah,
not when it's, yeah, and it's at a time, you know, like I said, in the summertime it's much less than that because it's, you get white wines all day.
So do you make a rosé and other whites, or
Well, that's what we have right now. We have in the past. We make a rosé every third year, maybe. And then, because we always make a Provençal-style rosé. Mm-hmm. We buy our fruit, especially for our rosé. So sometimes it's available, sometimes it's not. We don't want to take the wines.
You don't want to force it.
Correct. And so we do a rosé about, like I said, every third year. Sometimes we have two whites. We have something we call Doña Blanca. And it's a 50-50 blend of Garnacha Blanca and Malvasia Blanca. But we didn't do that this year. And we've done a Grenache Blanc in the past as well.
We had our first Malvasia Bianca, what was that, 2 or 3 weeks ago in Cambria at Twin Coyotes?
Oh, I just think it's so impressive you remember that stuff.
That's why we're partners.
Yeah, I remember liking it, but I couldn't have, I don't know what it was.
Would you like to take anything with you today?
We are not partners in life.
Oh my gosh.
So often people are like, okay, wait, you're both Therese, so like, nope, she married my brother.
Not that.
All the time, and it's so funny. So now I'm like, oh, we're...
That's hilarious. So you guys are sisters?
Partners in life, not partners in love.
Hope you enjoyed the episode that we just recorded at Bodegas Paso Robles.
Yes. That place was great. I liked every single wine she poured.
I did as well. I am very seriously considering becoming a member because now I don't have... And what I liked about it is that it's unusual right now for this area. So it's something different. It's not like another membership with more Pinot Noir or... Yeah. Cabernet GSM blends.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with a GSM
There's nothing
blend.
Wrong with that. But if I'm going to get a lot of wine, I don't need it all to be the same.
I smell what you're stepping in. I really just like supporting anywhere that's like female run.
Mm-hmm.
They had all but one person?
All but one person. Founded by
a
woman and
that.
Also now that. Co-owned by two women. So that's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. But no, they were awesome. Heather's great. And very just, like, inviting. Like, it's small.
Mm-hmm.
Not a place for, like, huge groups or kids.
No.
Beautiful art on the walls.
But the thing is, if you are in either, like, a bigger group or you have children in your group, it's in downtown Paso Robles.
Yeah.
So have grandma and grandpa or whatever non-wine-drinking person is in your party, take the kids to the park
that's
while you
true.
Go and
it is very
sip some
convenient.
Wine.
Yeah. Super convenient.
Like, it's right down the street from the Children's Museum, too. So if you don't want to go to the Children's Museum while your kids go, you
perfect.
Can go drink some wine.
Perfect. Do they have supervisors at the Children's Museum?
Like, you have to take
a babysitter?
No,
can
it's
I
not
check
like that.
My kid in for the next 2 hours? That'd be smart.
That'd be smart, but...
No, but I did. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I liked all the wine. I really liked... Yeah, I have nothing negative to say. I totally liked it.
Yeah, as well. I could continue to rave about it. I think the standouts for me were the Albarino. So the
Galicia. I did enjoy that very much.
It was very good.
I do feel like I should have bought that.
Perfect for summertime. We're sitting outside right now.
And it
just
is hot.
Post recording. And it is hot. And I just want to crack open the bottle that I bought and drink it.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be great.
It would be great. I don't think that Paso has an open container law, though.
Not in Atascadero anymore.
All right. Well, we had a really great time. We hope that you guys stop in and see them and visit them and support.
Thank you so much, Bodegas, for having us and accommodating us. They came in early for us, so that was awesome.
It was really great. I'm sure that we'll be back. And if we are, we'll tell you about the new wines that they are pouring and what you should pick up for yourself at that point.
Awesome. We'll have a good week. We'll see you guys next time.
We'll see you next time. But in the meantime, if you are missing us, totally.
Which definitely, you definitely should be.
Definitely check out our social media channels, Instagram, Facebook, Central Coast Uncorked. You can see our website, centralcoastuncorked.com, and also check out the app if you have an Android phone under the same name.
Yeah. Sorry, Apple users. We're working on it.
We are. I know. We keep saying that, but we really are working on it. We'll see you next week.
Bye.